Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's happening? Hitting the home stretch on a football Friday, which means it is time to rev it up. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Sharp Tierney swinging by in about 20 minutes or so. And we're coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Listen, nobody knows what's going to happen in a month. If there's any interruptions, nobody knows. It's still a week-by-week basis. The NFL's done a great job of navigating, all the testing. There's been some great, obvious responsibility on the part of the players because it's not a bubble. You know, they're doing their thing and they're going home, and it seems like they're doing the right thing. They're invested in this and they're protecting their sport and their earnings power, which we obviously benefit from because we get to watch football. And when we sit down to watch football this week, in week three, T, there's some storylines that are beginning to become a little too big to ignore and maybe more specifically classify as, that's early. Carson Wentz, that's early, is it? Mm-mm. Matt, the Falcons, that's early. Yeah, I don't know about that. Billy O'Brien, he'll find a way. The Texans, don't worry, it's early in that division. I don't think it's that early. You know, there's stories now that are interesting, and there's stories that are beginning to run out of a little bit of time, and I just named a couple. It's going to be an interesting Sunday coming up this week.
No, it is an interesting Sunday, and there's a bunch of 0-2 teams, BT, that you look at. And you and it's really on the quarterbacks. Carson Wentz is one, obviously. We've talked about them a couple of times this week, BT. But there's another one that jumps off the page for me, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. And the reason that Matt Ryan, this is not troubling, but it's got to be frustrating. Matt Ryan is playing as good a football as he's played in a really long time. Whether it's Russell Gage or Julio Jones, who he's throwing the ball to.
Calvin Ridley.
Ridley, who's turned – he's basically their number one right now.
Uh-huh.
He's leading the league in receiving yards and touchdowns after 2 weeks, which is crazy, especially considering Julio Jones, who they just kind of re-extended there, is still on that team. Todd Gurley is their running back. And their offense has put up 70 points in 2 weeks. And they should have won games. Now, part of it is coaching, as we saw with the Dallas Cowboys. But the reason that I look at the Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan as the team that has the must win of this weekend is because they can be good. Some of these other teams, like Carson Wentz and the Eagles, I think they got issues. And we've talked about it many times over the last week or week and a half or so, BT, with that offensive line being young and old, the receiving core being young and old, the defense, a little bit less deep than it's been in past years. I don't know how good the Eagles are going to be. If they maximize themselves, maybe they're 9-7, right? I think the Atlanta Falcons, because of how good they're playing offensively, and essentially could outscore, theoretically outscore almost anybody.
Yeah,
they have to win. Although, because if they go 0-3 this weekend, BT.
Yep.
You're right. It's what you talked about going into the break. You become, all right, you're not making it, right? I know it's, playoffs are expanded, but you have the Buccaneers who are going to be good in that division. The Saints, you know, they had a bad weekend. Drew Brees did in particular, but I'm not counting out the Saints yet. If you fall to like third fiddle in the NFC South, then
you're done.
Yep. So if there's must win for me, it's the Falcons and Matt Ryan, because he's actually playing really good. There's no pressure on him because he's got to just keep doing what he's doing, but they got to find a way to win.
Yeah, the pressure is on Dan Quinn.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, Matt's got the contract. Matt's, you know, borderline iconic. I know you need a championship to really have, but he's so involved in the community. He's third overall pick back in the day. You know, got him to a Super Bowl, won an MVP.
As clean-cut a dude as you'll ever come across. One of the great dudes in football.
Yeah, among many good guys in football, he's definitely one of the good guys, too. You know, it's funny because there are just certain 0-2 teams, and I'm looking at the standings now, that you just don't waste any time on.
Yeah.
You know, like
Jets, Bengals. You're not worried.
Well, the
about
Bengals
them.
Are. Well, yes, the Bengals. At least with Burrow, there's real intrigue there.
Yeah, but you're not expecting them to be division winners.
Not
especially in that division.
For sure, I even think the Broncos are morphing into a pretty disinteresting unit at this point, especially with the Drew Lock out with the shoulder.
Four to six weeks. I mean, that's more than a quarter of the season. I don't know how they're getting that done.
Cortland Sutton ripped up his knee. He's done. Yeah. You know, Jerry Jeudy's now going to ascend to that top receiver spot. Noah Fant is obviously a priority as a tight end, but you know they're not incredibly interesting right now. The Giants are still a couple of weeks away, in my opinion, from becoming uninteresting.
Yeah,
I still think that they're somewhat interesting here, and they're playing a beat up Niners team, so maybe they get right this week. But the Panthers aren't particularly interesting based on that division for the reasons Tiki just said.
And Christian McCaffrey's out for 6 weeks out. Or 4 to 6 weeks again with the high ankle sprain.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, I hear you.
The Lions are a disaster. I think another team, though, I gotta pay a little attention to the Vikings here. The Vikings are – see, the problem with the Vikings is one game the offense is terrific and the defense is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Then the defense is terrific and the offense is absolutely anemic. So you might say – I think some people would say – all right, 1 week this was wrong, and then the other week this was wrong. Probably easier to fix it than that. Probably easier to attack it that way.
Yeah.
I think it's – I disagree. I think teams who are going backwards spring leaks in unexpected spots.
It's a good way to look at it.
And makes it even tougher to fix. I think the Vikings are in a world of trouble here.
Yeah, they're inconsistent. Their defense and their offense are 30th in the NFL, BT. And that's because you can't show up 1 week and not, you know, be available the next week. And look, we know their defense is new-ish. They've got a lot of new pieces. But to see a Mike Zimmer team be as bad, like fundamentally, as they have been, granted, the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, maybe we sold them a little bit short last year saying, yeah, they overachieved a little bit with that 13-3 season. Aaron Rodgers looks as good as he's ever looked. I mean, and as aggressive as
he's a free man again, Tiki.
He feels like it.
He's
a
single guy.
He's
feeling himself again.
Who did we talk to that was talking about that? A.J. Hawk. We had A.J. Hawk on because he had just had Aaron Rodgers on his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe. Who knows? He doesn't have anything on his mind other than ball. But you see him being aggressive again. Like that Aaron Rodgers that was the gunslinger, like – I like the short play, but I'm going to take the big play more importantly. So I get the Minnesota Vikings getting torched a little bit by the Green Bay Packers because the Green Bay Packers are a little bit better than we thought they were. But losing to the Colts.
You shouldn't get torched like that, though.
No.
Not if you're a team with championship aspirations.
And not a team that's had a top five defense for the last 3 years.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? So,
no.
But the Colts is really the one that's more alarming. They scored 11 points, BT.
Yeah, you know what, though? That's going to look a lot more favorable or understandable in about 5 or 6 weeks.
You're probably right.
I love the Colts. You know that.
Yep, the Colts are – I mean, Darius Leonard was my defensive player of the year this year.
I know
he
was.
Not that I'm bragging on that. But
no,
yeah.
Listen.
Look, he's great. We know he's great. He was great when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
He's
already an All-Pro once.
Yes, and he was the defensive rookie of the year, I believe.
He was.
So, the Colts' defense is legit. But still, the Minnesota Vikings are a team that has been into the playoffs and won playoff games for the last 2 or 3 years. And, you know, to all of a sudden look like – you know, you can't figure it out on one side of the ledger each of the first 2 weeks, it's concerning. So, yeah, to me, the two teams that you look at that are 0-2 that have the most pressure to win because they should be better are the Falcons with Matt Ryan, and that defense has been bad in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the Minnesota Vikings, and Kirk Cousins got to live up to the deal that he's playing under.
Well, we put it up to a poll, which 0-2 quarterback most needs a win this week, and Carson Wentz 48% right now.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan's an option, 11%.
Yep, that's who I went with, by the way.
Oh, that's who you did vote for him.
Yeah, I went for Matt Ryan.
Deshaun Watson, who I want to get to in a moment. Deshaun right now 24%, Kirk Cousins 16%. Give it a vote. It's actually, I put it on my account. I know it's been retweeted on Tiki and Tierney, but you want to get it directly, just go to @BrandonTierney. All right, here's the issue, though. Hard to define. Like, we understand. Carson Wentz, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. You're regressing. Your coach said that. Like, mm-hmm. Philly fans are a little fed up with you. Yeah. We get that situation. We know Matt Ryan, it's not his fault. He's balling, but
right.
Things are falling apart.
There really is no actual pressure on Matt Ryan other than the fact that they should be winning games.
Correct. Kirk Cousins, he's Kirk Cousins. He's got a big contract, yeah, but there's a lot of issues there, and he's not one of the top 10 quarterbacks anyway. So what I think, or even top 12, I don't know, maybe even top 15, I don't think at this point. But what I think is really interesting is the Texans, because Deshaun Watson just got paid.
Yep.
Right? Just got paid. And I'm certainly not dumping this at his doorstep by any stretch. I love Deshaun Watson here. And both times they put up 30-plus points in their two losses here. And, by the way, they played the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be fair to Deshaun Watson. And now they've got the Steelers. And then they've got the Vikings. And if the Vikings get right, that's about as brutal a four-game stretch to start the season as anybody in football without even looking at the other schedules. That is tough. But, you know, the Texans have, like, they got to play the Packers this year. They're at Tennessee soon. You got to play the Browns.
New England.
The Patriots,
yep.
If they go 5-11-ish, which is not inconceivable when you're already 0-2 and maybe staring at 0-3, does the perception begin to change, rightly or wrongly, around Deshaun Watson a little bit?
I don't think so, because he hasn't necessarily been playing poorly. Not that he's been great, but he hasn't been playing poorly. I think the issue, they have had three turnovers, but that's not, they're just not getting any turnovers. Like, they're not impactful defensively, and that's kind of how you've looked at the strength of the Texans for the, you know, last, you know, with J.J. Watt for the last 5 or 6 years. So it's the defensive side. You obviously know that they got rid of Hopkins, and so who's stepping into that void is the question. I don't think it comes back on Deshaun Watson, though. I think it goes squarely to the general manager / head coach, Bill O'Brien. He wanted all of this responsibility. Now he's gotten this responsibility, and he's made some moves that are somewhat controversial. Now they had to make these moves, as we know, because of Laramie Tunsil. They had to protect your biggest asset, which is your quarterback, as opposed to paying one of the top receivers in football and DeAndre Hopkins. But still, You make those decisions, and if they don't work out, whether it was the right decision or not, and I think it was the right decision, to be honest with you, you're never going to get forgiven for it. And so as a general manager and a head coach, you're facing a no-win proposition unless you start playing better and winning, period. And that's what it comes down to. And we know he's been I don't think he's actually been on the hot seat down there, but fans and media around the Texans will say, what the hell? You know,
they should
win something.
They should. First of all, you know, you gift wrap DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, you make one of the best young quarterbacks in football, your quarterback, worse by getting rid of Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
And you now accelerate the development of one of the other young best quarterbacks in football, Kyler Murray, by giving him DeAndre Hopkins.
Thank you very much.
Right? And gift wrap them. But even aside from that, like, the mystifyingly ugly playoff losses. Like, all right, what does he want? He's won at least three, maybe even a fourth division title. I kind of get them all mixed up at this point. They haven't been gaudy win totals, and it hasn't been a great division. But, you know, give him his due. He's distinguished himself more than the other teams outside of Tennessee. You know, last year, Tennessee had a great run, almost got to the Super Bowl. But I think that, you know, Bill O'Brien, every year, he just shows that when he gets to the playoffs, like, it never looks smooth.
Yeah, you know he's going to fall short.
And it never looks sustainable. Like, put it this way. The Texans the Titans season ended last year, and you sit there and you say, all right, I can see how this thing is going to advance forward. Derrick Henry stays healthy. You feed the big guy, Ryan Tannehill, blah, blah, blah. Offensive line, good coach. Mm-hmm. All right, they could probably still do this for another year or two, maybe even more. But every time the Texans lose a playoff game, which is every year, you sit there and you say, there's really no, outside of Hopkins and Watson, there's really nothing that says I believe
okay, next
in,
year,
in
next
this
year,
direction.
Yeah, I know. I know
you
exactly.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. No, you're like, there's got to be another piece that's going to come into it, his own.
Yeah. And it's like it's always a restart.
Make a difference.
A mini restart.
Yes, and you have the two staples. Well, you had the two staples, Watson and Hopkins. And look, J.J. Watt's great. Love the guy. He's one of the greatest ever to do it. But he seems a shell of who he was. And that's,
yep.
The shell of who he was is still very good.
Uh-huh.
But he was, I mean, he was amazing.
Yeah.
And that disruptive nature that we used to count on, we don't see anymore. And it makes it easier for everybody else when he's playing, when he's great. And it may just be past him. I mean, I don't want to believe that because he's not, how old is he? He's not that old. He's 31, but he's still not that old. It shouldn't be past him, but I don't know. He's got two sacks on the season, so he's been impactful, but there's not impacting the defense the way that it had in past years.
Well, Teague, there's a lot of scar tissue in that body.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of knives to the flesh.
Yep.
A lot of surgical instruments probing inside. Guy's been cut open a lot.
Yeah. And he's playing well.
Yeah.
It's just not impactful.
I know what you mean.
It's different.
It's two different things. He was one of the best defensive players we've ever seen.
Yeah, that's
right.
For
a couple of years. He really was. Bill O'Brien. You know, it's funny. 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, mm-hmm. 9-7, the one ugly 4-12, 11-5, 10-6, now 0-2. You know, very well. I look for trends with coaches. Like, forget about the record in totality, mm-hmm. which means something at some point. But I need to see, like, okay, where was the team before you came in? Did you have to clean house? Was it an underachieving unit with a little tweak? You actually got handed a decent roster and could win some games, or was it a complete reboot? And, you know, you look back at 2018, he won 11 games, and then last year was 10. And now who knows what happens this season? I'm starting to get the sense that 2018 is going to be the high water mark for Bill, and it's going to get a little slippery pretty quick.
Yeah.
I think I don't portend good things moving forward for Bill O'Brien and the Texans. I just don't.
And the problem is the only person above him to make the decision is the owner.
Yep.
And that's I don't know. It complicates it a little bit.
I hear you. Oh, what time is it? Game time. Almost time to get in the costume, Teak. Oh, this is nothing. Wait to see what I'm busting out today. Who wants a little sharp action? Picks. All right, we're going to hit the spread coming up next. We'll do that. We've got our Teak and Tierney whip around. All the games I don't hit from the spread picks. But listen, we're going to have a little fun. Hopefully make you a little coin, which I had the first 2 weeks. We're off to a nice start, well over 60%. So sharp Tierney steps into the stage next, right here. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Just visit geico.com to learn a little bit more. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Sharp Tierney's going to make his appearance now. After that, we've got the Week 3 Tiki and Tierney whip around. So, you know the drill. Try to make a little coin. So far, we have delivered, as we usually do on the show, and put a little extra green in the pocket. I think I'm ready to have a little fun. Teak, you ready to take some notes?
I am.
All right. Sharp Tierney, let's get it. Here
take
we go.
Take it away.
Let's go.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
Every show makes picks, but this show actually makes picks that'll put money in your pocket. We've got nearly 10 years of evidence to back it up. Buckle in and get your wallets ready as BT pops on his shades and becomes Sharp Tierney.
Okay, I got a question for you. First of all, I got a question for you.
Go ahead, man.
Do we have a sponsor yet?
No, no sponsor yet. We're working on it.
All right, well, here's the warning, because the longer we go without a sponsor, the higher the rate will go.
Nice, the more expensive it becomes.
If you don't get in now, you will not be able to afford the sponsorship for this segment.
All right,
let's go. Sharp Tierney, last week we went 7-3. The week before that, 6-4. all said this year, 13-7 against the spread, a healthy 65% all time. Listen to these numbers. All time, it's a lot of games. 384, 315, and 27. That's a very healthy 55%. You will take that any day of the week. The objective, obviously, hitting the spread, make some money. We could go college. We could go pro. We could go side. We could go toe. We can do whatever we want, but the object is to win. Here's the first dub. And you know what? Over the years, this team's treated me well. Army, Army getting points in Cincinnati. The Black Knights of the Hudson, not too far from where I went to school, Marist. Army is 13.5. Let me get this straight. You're going to give me 13.5 points. I know Cincinnati's good. I know Desmond Ritter's a good quarterback. I got that. But I will always ride Army with 3, 5, 4, 5, 6 points. You give me almost 14? 18-9-1 against the spread as dogs of at least 3 or more under this coaching tutelage. So Army gets a lot of points. Listen, they grind it out. The clock, tick, 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 tick. I'm always going to back Army, a team that I believe in, against a good team in Cincinnati. I'm taking the 13.5. Give me Army. Ring it up. Where's the? Oh, wait. D-Cell's not in. Do we have the cash register today? Money time, Teak. We can't roll without the cash register, baby. UTEP is at University of Louisiana Monroe. Why are you betting this game? Because I see green. That's why. UTEP, now, their point differential so far, it's not good. It's minus 56, all right? That's bad. By the way, they haven't been to a bowl since 2014, so the Miners have been a little skittish, shall we say. Monroe, I don't like their point differential either. But at least they're more competitive than UTEP. So Monroe has played two games. Pardon me. They're 0-2, 25.5 point differential, whereas UTEP is 0-1, and they got lost by 56. I'll take Monroe. I'll lay the 10, and we'll go with the Raging Cajuns. Up next, only 3 college games this week, by the way. The rest are NFL. Virginia Tech, what's the nickname, Teak? Talk to me. Talk to me.
The Hokies.
Where'd your pops go to school?
Mom and Dad went to Virginia Tech. Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University, to be precise.
Don't start nerding up the segment here. Now, I pull you in when I need you. Now, step back. I don't want you to make this a nerdy segment. We know what it means. Virginia Tech, right now, they haven't played yet. Haven't played a game yet. So who are you going to ride here? The team that's played a game, that's North Carolina State. They actually won that game. Or the Hokies, who have yet to play, could be rusty, but also nothing on tape, so maybe a little surprise for NC State. I'm going to go with the latter philosophy. Give me Virginia Tech. I'm going to lay nearly a touchdown. You might want to shave that half a point down to get it inside of 6. Missed extra point, something wacky safety. But I'm going to take Virginia Tech minus 6.5, 8 Eastern game, and those are the 3 college games. Let's get to the NFL. All right, we touched on Deshaun Watson before. He's doing his job, but the team's not that good. And I don't think this is going to really change anytime soon. They're 0-2. They're probably in for that, 6-10 kind of a season where the Steelers, don't you just get the sense each week they're going to get better and better and better and better and better? I have that sense. This one I saw right away on Tuesday. I was looking at this. I said, maybe this is too good to be true, which could happen on occasion. But I'm going to take the Steelers. I'm going to lay the 4. I think the Steelers will score. I know they'll score. And I think that they'll get enough stops. I just don't see the weaponry. Even though the Texans have scored some points, I get that. The Steelers' defense is top flight. Give me the Steel Dogs, lay the 4. Where is it? Money. Let's go. Money time, James. There it is. Okay. The Giants. I rode the Giants last week. I took them at plus 5.5 out in Chicago. The Giants won for us. I'm going to ride the Giants again this week. Now, it's only 3.5 points, so a 2-point difference could be a factor. But I know the Giants are banged up without Saquon. I understand that. But you know what? Kittle's out. I mean, I could just save us time and say everybody's out for the 49ers because they are. But I'll give you the names that you care about. Kittle's out. Jimmy G is out. By the way, they spent this week in West Virginia. So they have not been to the Bay Area in 2 weeks. They played the Jets there last week. Of course, they won because they played the Jets. They were complaining about the turf. Bunch of guys got hurt. Bosa's not playing. I think the Giants put forth the galvanizing effort. I think the Giants could win. I think the Giants might win, but I think the Giants definitely cover. Give me the Giants plus 3.5. Ring it up. Oh, that was right on. That one was on point. Now I feel really good about that pick. Washington Browns in Cleveland. I tweeted this the first game. I said, if Baker's going to shove these commercials down our throat this year, then Baker better, all the progressive commercials, Baker better start winning some football games and play better. And you know what? I think we saw a little bit of that the other day. Baker, now the spread is 7 points. Here's what's going to happen. Washington's just not going to score enough points. All right, so I don't think Cleveland drops a 40 spot on them, anything nuts like that, but they will run, they will run, they will run. Tick, 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 tick. I just think you see a very... you know, off-kilter Washington offense. Haskins still growing, still young, blah, blah, blah. And I see the Browns winning, you know, 27-10, 27-13. Give me the Browns, lay the touchdown. The dog pound, they get their second win. Cleveland starts to move in the direction that Boltique and I think they should be this season. Give me Cleveland. Ring it up. Let's go. All right. The Jets. Listen, I'm not wasting my time with these. These guys, the New York Jets suck. I don't know how else to say it. No one's playing. They're not even good when guys play. Jamison Crowder, not playing. Breshad Perriman, not playing. Le'Veon Bell, not playing. Lucky me. Every team drafts wide receivers. You get to see them all. The Jets draft a wide receiver. He hasn't taken a snap in practice. Got hurt right away. Denzel Mims, when are you coming back? Not this week. And you're playing the Colts. Colts defense is superb. Don't overthink this. Jets can't score. Jets can't score. Jets can't stop you. Indianapolis wins this. This has 34-10. This might have 43-13 written all over it. Sammy, just get out of there alive and just, please, you're killing Darnold. You're killing him. But the Jets get waxed by the Colts. Lay it. Good. I hate saying it, but it's true. Bengals, Eagles, over-under. We got to get a couple of those in there. They always treat me well.
That's
right?
The easy money, right?
Nothing. What do I tell you, Teague?
I'm telling you, especially in 2020. In 2020.
Wait. Stop
being preseason.
Teague, do I got to put you in a batch room? You going to be a mush? Do I got to put him in a batch room? He's a mush. I'm going for the over. You know what? The Bengals defense is bad. The Bengals defense is porous, right? As much as you want to watch Burrow, who is really good, 0-2 still, I think the Eagles are better than this. They're 0-2 as well. Over under 47. Give me the Birds and the Bengals to crank up the score. But I do think the Eagles win as well. Over, I like this quite a bit. Numbers 47. Ring it up. Go. Lions and the Cardinals. I'm going to call this the energy contrast bowl. Because the Lions, they have an energy that is so negative and so just... I mean, everything about the way they lose, the way they play. I mean, the Lions are the Jets. Actually, the Lions are not the Jets. The Lions are more creative in how they... The Jets don't even really... They don't really make you... You can turn the game off if you want. The Lions make you watch 60 minutes, then they lose. They're going to lose again this week. But you're not going to have to wait for 60 minutes because Kyler Murray's going to eviscerate this defense. Lay the 5.5 points. Cardinals are laying the number. Energy contrast. Here's the Lions. Here's the Cardinals. They get to 3-0. Give me Arizona. Ring it. Register. Attaboy, James. Raiders at the Pats. Over-under 47.5. I'm going to take... Teague, what do you think I'm going to do here? Over-under Raiders-Pats. Let's see how well Teague... He knows me well.
Yeah, you got to go over here.
Attaboy, Teague.
Got to go
what?
Over.
Ring this one up for Teague. Give him a register. Attaboy. Little Teague mojo on the scene. Now, if we lose, it's Tiki's fault. If we win, it's all me. But the over-under is 47.5. I think it flies over. I know Jacobs is a little bit nicked up, but between Waller, between all the weapons they had, their offensive line's great. You know Cam's going to make plays downfield with his wheels. I love the over here, 47.5. So, in summation, Army plus 13.5. Go get them, Black Knights of the Hudson over Cincinnati. I got Army. I've got Monroe laying 10 to UTEP. I've got Virginia Tech laying 6.5 against NC State. That's in Blacksburg. I'm going to take the Steelers, Steelers minus 4 against the Houston Texans. Giants will cover again. They'll reward me again, plus 3.5. They will play well against the Niners. I might even think they win. Browns minus 7. Browns hammer them. They'll beat Washington easily. I've got the Colts dismantling my Jets. Lay the wood. It's a lot. Who cares? Jets stink. 11.5. Colts will crush them. Bengals, Eagles over 47. Lions at Cards. That's in Arizona. Cardinals, the Kyler Murray MVP chase continues. Minus 5.5 in the desert. Go with the Cards and the Raiders and the Pats. Over under 47.5. So I'm gonna give you one more warning, all right? There's no sponsor still on this segment, which is criminal. That there is not a sponsor here is negligent. It's criminal. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't get in soon, you're not going to be able to afford it. And there it is. Week 3, Sharp Tierney has spoken. And there we go.
Let me see the dollar change, man. Let me see the dollar change.
Couple dollars make you holler. Holler for wins, baby. We holler for wins. By the way, and here's the other thing, too. I told Tiki, I said, every time I have a winning week, if I have a losing week, which invariably I will, it's gambling, obviously, I'm going to add a new prop. So last week was the tilted hat. I always wear the shades. That's the whole Sharp Tierney. This week was the chains. I got these on Amazon. I got 4 more in the drawer. I might start wearing them on the wrist, too. Who knows? I might have to bust out earrings at some point. I've also got the leather jacket today. So we're in total caricature here. And certainly caricature. Have fun. Be smart. Be sensible. Don't bet what you don't have. I am pretty good at this, but you could get thumped any day of the week. So be smart about that. There it is, Teak.
Love it.
All right. So let me get a little water. All right.
and we'll get on to the last segment here, which is obviously the important side, but not as interesting as Sharp Tinny here, BT.
I got you. Teak, it's here to Week 3 Whip Around after Houston's update, which is right now. Here's Bobby. Boys are back in town. Very nice. Good song there, James. I like it. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And today's question here on Teak and Tier, let's go to Randy in Detroit. Randy says, is it time for my Lions to draft a quarterback to replace Stafford if they get a top five pick? What do you think there, Teak?
I think, BT, it's time to draft a quarterback and get some assets for Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford can still play a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly where he'll fit someplace else. I'd have to go search for that. But if you can get something for him and it's not punitive to trade him, as it will not be next year, then I would, absolutely.
I totally agree. I've hinted at that for a couple of years, not saying that he's the issue, but there's too many problems that have swallowed up his talent. He can no longer offset it, so I don't disagree. Appreciate the question, Randy. Hang in there. I know it's tough being a Lions fan. I lived out there a little bit, and you guys, it's not easy. All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, everything at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Santhers put up the picks, so they're on social media. Just jump on Twitter at Teak and Tierney, all 10 picks against the spread, a sharp Tierney. But right now, Teak, we strap you in. It's time for our Teak and Tierney whip around. Let's hit it.
The Chicago Bears, the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, couple of the quarterbacks that one who's really been in the crosshairs in Trubisky, the other who we all know should not be 0-2, but he is. Here's Matt Ryan's thoughts on starting the season 0-2, Teak.
You know, it's always disappointing when you're 0-2, regardless of how you play. You know, we're in this for one reason. We're in this to win ballgames.
That's what you get with a veteran. Obviously, not going to get too overwhelmed by a couple of games here. But there's urgency, no doubt, for the Falcons. Got to get a win.
Big. We talked about this already, BT. And look, if this Falcons defense wants to get right, this is a good team to get right against. Mitch Trubisky has been good at points. He usually gives you a quarter and a half of really good play. Then he kind of stagnates a little bit. So if they want to get right, this is a team to do it against, especially at home. And you know that they're going to score points. Absolute must win.
Okay, moving on.
Los Angeles Rams, the Buffalo Bills.
Rams a little better than I thought they'd be. The Bills are who I thought they'd be, which is a quality team. Josh Allen gets better every single week. And the Rams, Teak, they're doing things a little differently. Some different players. They're kind of rebuilding on the fly. The Rams are pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. But Josh Allen has not thrown an interception so far this year. 727 yards and 6 TDs. He's also obviously always a good runner. But Jared Goff, I think, it's proving some of his critics wrong as well. This defense gets after it, especially with Aaron Donald, as disruptive as he is at the point of attack and at the line of scrimmage. So if Jared Allen is looking for, Josh Allen's looking for a test, it's going to be this weekend against that interior of the LA Rams.
Well, let's hear from Sean McVay, obviously a very innovative, fertile offensive mind. What's his thoughts on the quarterback he's going against this Sunday?
Hey, he's been really impressive. I think you just look at the playmaking ability to create off schedule, but they're doing a lot of different things, mixing personnel groupings, getting a lot of guys involved. He's seeing the field really well right now.
All right, so the Bills trying to get to 3-0 is a mark they don't get to too frequently. We'll see what happens. That one is up in Buffalo. Moving on.
The Tennessee Titans, the Minnesota Vikings.
Kirk Cousins, what is up with the offense, Kirk?
We've got to be better. I've got to be better. And, now we're back to work this week on a new opponent. And we get that chance next Sunday to get this bad taste out of our mouths and play better football.
Teak, let me ask you this. We've diagnosed what ails the Vikings. And unfortunately for Viking fans, some of it's on offense, some of it's on defense. So they've got a lot to correct. What you've seen from the Titans so far, does it seem like it's a seamless transition from a year ago? Anything different? Do you still like this team the way you did?
Yeah, I do still like this team. They primarily want to run the ball, but Ryan Tannehill is playing really great football. And that's not to be – you could expect that, because that's just the kind of player that he is. He's 6 touchdowns on the season, BT. Also, no interceptions. The Minnesota Vikings have a chance this week because they're not going to get run away from. The last 2 weeks, they've given up 71 points combined, 43 and then 28 last weekend. The Titans don't play that kind of football. So if Minnesota is not going to be effective offensively and still hope to win, this is the game they're going to do it against. But Tennessee is no punk, man. They're good.
No, they are good. Tannehill making some throws. You know, I think A.J. Brown's banged up. Mm-hmm. I saw that before. I think he's already been ruled out, so that's a bit of an issue. But the Titans trying to get a win, and the Vikings another win. Vikings just trying to stabilize things as we move on.
The Carolina Panthers, Los Angeles Chargers.
You know, easily here, Teek, the Chargers, they could have lost that game to the Bengals. The Chargers could be coming here limping at 0-2. Instead, they're 1-1. They're not strutting in, but they do have a win compared to the Panthers, who are winless. And you just get the sense that, you know, while Matt Rhule's going to have to really, you know, put his system in place, and who knows if Bridgewater's the guy long term, I think there's a lot of faith in what Matt Rhule will ultimately do. But right now, the Panthers without C-Mac are they're just, I mean, yeah, they're a D-level kind of a product, I would think. Chargers have to win this game, and we get to see Herbert again.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mike Davis, who's in his 6th year from South Carolina, is going to take most of those totes for the Carolina Panthers. And Teddy Bridgewater is going to have to put a lot on his shoulders pushing the ball downfield. He's been okay. I'm not saying good or bad, but this is the first actual plan to start for Justin Herbert. And if I was a fantasy football playing man, Hunter Henry would be.
Well, you are. What do you mean if? You are.
I am, yeah, but I don't have this guy. Hunter Henry would be high on my list.
I've got him.
Young tight ends or young quarterbacks rely on tight ends. They obviously have a good running game in Austin Ekeler as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to pick here, but I really like the Chargers with Herbert. I really love his poise last week, and he was only going to get it better with a week knowing he's starting.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Hunter Henry before. He weighed in on Tyrod Taylor going down, which obviously has opened up the door for Herbert.
Tyrod was our guy all throughout camp that we've worked with this whole summer and throughout camp and everything. So, you know, and Tyrod's proved it in this league. I mean, he's going on year 10, so, you know, he's definitely proved it in this league. And, you know, whoever we go out there with on Sundays, you know, we're going to be ready to fight for.
All right, so he's kind of towing the company line. But don't you think, because this emerged midweek here, that basically Herbert didn't know he was playing until a few minutes before the game?
Yeah.
Isn't that almost advantageous to a rookie rather than having to sleep on it the night before?
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, kid, get your helmet. Get in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, maybe. Right? Maybe. You don't have time to worry about it. You just got to go do it. But that's why I think he was so highly sought after, even though he kind of fell a little bit in the draft, is because he's mature and he's a smart kid and he's not overwhelmed.
And he's bigger than we thought.
That's right.
He's big.
He's big standing out there on the field for sure.
Yeah.
All right. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Denver Broncos.
The Broncos are all sorts of banged up, and that's tricky where – boy, how do you piece it together? But, you know, listen, the Buccaneers are a Gronk weight in this week. Yeah, you know, I'm fine. I know my role. I knew what I was signing up for. Each week you chip away at the rust of Tom Brady. The Bucs will be fine. I think the question is, will the Broncos be fine? They're really banged up.
Yeah, I don't know if the Broncos are going to be fine. I don't see how they score this week. In Tampa, you know, they're only going to continue to get better the more that they work together. Gronk doesn't need to be great right now. They have two other really good tight ends in O.J. Howard and Cameron Brayton. And eventually Gronk will, you know, show himself. And it'll be beneficial down the stretch, especially if someone gets hurt. Leonard Fournette, you know, had a great game last week, over 100 yards and a touchdown. Tampa looks like a team that could be viable after that week one where we had some question marks on Tom Brady.
You know, when you go out and you get Tom Brady, you better be viable at the least. You better be viable. But I hear you. They didn't look too good. He threw the pick six, another pick as well. Kareem Jackson, what's different with Brady this year? Anything?
Only thing different is, to me, is his targets. And it's just a little bit of a different style of offense. You know, what I'm used to seeing him in. Still has a lot of the things that he's normally done in the past.
All right, so that's the Bucs and the Broncos. How about this? Let's get to a 5-star platinum matchup. This is going to be fun as we move on.
The Dallas Cowboys. Woo! The Seattle Seahawks.
Ooh, Dak Prescott on the hype going against Russell Wilson.
I've got all the faith in my defense going out there and doing their job, but for me it's about staying focused in on what the Seattle Seahawks defense is going to give us, the way that we execute against that. And that's the premier focus and the only focus within a game plan, no matter who the quarterback is.
I'll tell you one thing, Teague. Dallas, I'm not sure if Dallas is going to win. Dallas is going to score some points against the Seattle defense.
Yeah, I think so. As good as Jamal Adams is, I mean, he's their leading tackler and leading sacker right now. They've had some injuries, Seattle, in the second, in the front, and the front seven. So Dallas is going to have an opportunity, but Dak's got to play more explosively. He's only got 2 touchdowns on the season so far compared to Russell Wilson, who has 9. So, yeah, they're going to have to keep up score-wise, the Dallas Cowboys, and this is an important win for them, obviously, if they can get it. But I think Seattle has a huge advantage here because of who's at quarterback for them.
Now, speaking of quarterbacks, as we move on, a little pressure on one of the old guys to kind of fix things fast.
The Green Bay Packers, the New Orleans Saints.
And that would be Drew Brees, who addressed some of the criticisms in terms of how he's played so far this season.
At the end of the day, I am focused on putting us in position to succeed, you know, making great decisions, both in the run game and the pass game, you know, whatever is predicated on, you know, my decision, my ability to get us into the best play, and our ability to, you know, take care of the football and go and score points, put us in the best position to win.
All right, so both teams' top wideout is banged up. What do you see happening here? Green Bay, New Orleans.
Davante Adams is not playing. Michael Thomas, he is out for this week. So, yeah, the top receivers are out. So it's going to be based on, you know, who can control the game the best. I think Aaron Rodgers has a significant advantage here because of the confidence that he's had and the confidence, really, that he's started to develop in the other guys on this team, in this receiving core, whether it's Valdez-Scantling, who we had in studio, or Lazard. They got some players on that receiving core, mm-hmm. Not to mention 2 really good running backs, but Aaron Jones has been exceptional. He's already got 3 touchdowns on the season. So I think the advantage here is to the Packers, but you can never count out Drew Brees, even though he's looked bad last week.
I would agree. There it is. Week 3, Tiki and Tierney, NFL whip around, as we take it from all the games that we didn't address during the pick segment. Speaking of the picks, they're on social media now. Mike's got them up. Just go to Tiki and Tierney on Twitter. All 10 against the spread. Have a little fun. What do you got cooking this weekend, Tiki? Anything good?
I am heading to the airport, hopping on a plane, and heading down to Miami. Actually flying into Fort Lauderdale to do Florida State-Miami, which is obviously a great, great rivalry. It's been on the side burner for a little bit now because Florida State hasn't been that good. Miami hasn't either, for that matter.
True.
But Miami looks great in the first 2 weeks. So it's going to be a fun one for sure.
No fans, right?
There will be 13,000 fans.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
And Hard Rock Stadium, which is obviously the stadium of the Dolphins, has done it smartly. So even though they're supposed to be socially distanced, you can't even, like, if you wanted to, you couldn't get close to anybody else because they've tarped off all the seats that aren't supposed to be sat in.
Good.
It's a smart way to do it.
Just have to hope, you know, a couple of beers, people go to the bathroom.
No kids, by the way. No students.
No students.
No students at all.
All right. So. Just one of the casualties. At least we have a game. That's going to be fun. I'm going to watch that game for sure. So enjoy that. What else do we have here?
The
basketball tonight?
There too.
What's
that? 2 weeks in a row. Game Day Crew is going to be there also.
Nice.
Miami's re-arriving.
Yeah, going to Miami.
Yeah. Basketball's big tonight, though. The Heat have a chance to make the statement. Do we all think that they're going to make?
What do you think?
I think the
Celtics squeeze out a win.
Nah, I would have said that before, but the Heat are just, I don't know. They just find ways, man. Gritty. Huh?
Well, listen, Teague, have a safe flight. Enjoy the game.
Everybody,
you got it, my man. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll catch you on Monday. Enjoy the football and the hoops and everything. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.